Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the MedAir Aviation Security Podcast. Again, my name is Ryan Brockhouse, and I'm the Aviation and Maritime Security Supervisor based in our Phoenix, Arizona office. Today, we'll be discussing an important subject that we're witnessing both a proliferation in use of, and conversely, have seen increased interest by our clients, drones, or in the technical vernacular, unmanned aerial systems. Indeed, we've seen increased use of these in conflict zones. The Russo-Ukraine conflict comes to the immediate mind. But we're also seeing increased use in the civilian world as well. Today, we have Pierre Ibrahim, who is our Aviation and Maritime Security Specialist based in Dubai, who'll be going in depth on the various UAS systems out there, what their capabilities are, their effects in the civil aviation world today and in the future, and some mitigation measures aviation clients can take to ensure the safety of operations. Pierre, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
All right, Pierre. Now, as we all know, we can't get into the meat and potatoes of UAS or drones without giving a general overview of what types are out there today, their capabilities and the like. So can you give us a little background on this type of technology?
Yes, of course, Ryan. Drones, or what's known as UAS, range from small consumers, grade aircraft, to highly capable military systems. While they provide value in industries like photography, logistics, and security, they also pose serious risk, especially when operated near airports or within civil airspace. And as we will explore, there are two broad categories we will focus on today, Ryan. We have the commercial drones, often misused or flown negligently, and military drones, which pose strategic threats when operating near aviation infrastructure or flight path.
Okay, so two specific types of drones that we see out there. So I guess let's start with the commercial drones, Pierre. Who's typically using them, and what are their capabilities specifically?
Now, commercial drones have become widely accessible, Ryan, and are now used across a broad spectrum of industries and personal interest. Hobbyists often fly drones recreationally, like photographers, videographers, surveyors, engineers, also used by farmers in agriculture. Now, it's good to understand, Ryan, the specs of most commercial drones, which are designed to operate at altitudes usually below 400 feet or about 120 meters to avoid interfering with manned aircraft. And their range typically spans a few kilometers depending on the model and local regulations. Our payloads are usually lightweight and include high-resolution cameras, thermal, or multi-spectral sensors, and occasionally small delivery packages and specialized applications. Now, from a regulatory standpoint, these drones are generally required to fly within visual line of sight, meaning that the operator must always be able to see the drone at all times without the aid of binoculars or other devices. They must also avoid no-fly zones, which includes area near airports, military installations, and sensitive infrastructure. And despite these safeguards, sadly, Ryan, violations still occur, sometimes due to ignorance or negligence, and other times with malicious intent. This is why and enforcement are very critical components of safe drone integration into national airspace systems.
Ah, okay. So civilian drones have some obvious restrictions. And as you mentioned, limited range and size, but also specific restrictions imposed on them to supposedly limit interference of civilian aircraft. But then, as you mentioned earlier, we have military or weaponized drones. And those are very different beasts, I assume, right?
Exactly. Now, military and weaponized drones are fundamentally different from their commercial counterparts in terms of range, payload, autonomy, and resilience. These systems are usually engineered for high-stakes missions and can operate over hundreds or even thousands of kilometers, far beyond the line of sight limitations of civilian drones. Their payloads vary widely from high-resolution surveillance equipment and electronic warfare tools to precision-guided munitions and explosive warheads. Many are equipped with autonomous navigation systems that allow them to function even in GPS-denied environments, using onboard sensors, inertial navigation, and right now, an AI-based pathfinding. And there are several distinct categories of military drones. We have the reconnaissance drones that are used for intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition, often flying at usually Ryan at very high altitude for extended durations. Also, loitering munitions, sometimes referred to as suicide drones, that are designed to hover over a target area and strike once a target is identified, combining surveillance and attack in a single platform. Then there are armed UAVs like the MQ-9 Reaper or the Bayraktar, which carry missiles or bombs and are used for strategic strikes against high-value targets. Now, these drones have become central to modern warfare, particularly in conflict zones like Russia, Ukraine, Syria, Iraq, and parts of the Middle East. And their use near civilian airspace raises a very serious concerns. In some cases, drones have strayed dangerously close to commercial flight path, posing risks of mid-air collisions or even radar interference. And moreover, the increasing use of drones by non-state actors and militias blurs the lines between military and civilian domains, complicating airspace management and heightening the risk of escalation or accidental engagement.
Yeah, it definitely seems that the proliferation of these types of drones, I would say particularly the loitering munitions or the kamikaze drones, are having a dramatic effect on conflicts. So much so they seem to be revolutionizing the conflict space itself. And I don't want to use the Russo-Ukraine conflict as the sole example, but as we had seen recent weeks, literally hundreds of these loitering munitions being used as part of a major strike package through swarming tactics. And you know, to be clear, this tactic is being utilized by both parties of the conflict, so both by Russia and Ukraine. But anyway, let's talk about airports. What are the primary drone-related threats here?
Well, perfect, Ryan. The most pressing drone-related threats to airports is usually unauthorized incursions into controlled airspace. Now, these incidents can cause massive disruption, even when the drone is unarmed. A prime example, if you remember, is the Gatwick Airport incident in 2008, where multiple drone sightings near the runway led to a complete shutdown for more than 36 hours of the airport operation. And more than 1,000 flights were canceled or diverted, affecting around 140,000 passengers and resulting in millions of dollars in economic losses. Now, despite an extensive investigation, sadly, no drone was ever recovered, highlighting the difficulty in confirming and responding to such threats in real time. Now, even when drones are not weaponized, Ryan, their mere presence near runways or flight path triggers immediate safety protocols. This uncertainty forces airports to hold operations, ground flights, and sometimes initiate emergency procedures, all of which have very serious public safety and economic implications. Now, whether it's a careless hobbyist or a deliberate act of disruption, the consequences are usually the same. Delays, diversions, financial losses, and shaken public confidence in aviation security. That's why airports are heavily in detection, classification, and of course, mitigation systems to prevent such incidents before they escalate.
Yeah, this is very concerning. And to add to this, we had a similar event in New York when drone sightings led to the suspension of operations at Stewart International Airport back in December of 2024. Now, this airport's a little bit north of New York City proper, and the level of disruption was less compared to, say, London Gatwick, which was a much larger facility. But it really demonstrates that disruption can happen really anywhere at any airport. Now, what about more deliberate actions that we're seeing?
Now, this is a different topic, kind of. Like, this is where drone threats become even more concerning. When they are used with deliberate malicious intent, And one of the most common and growing issues right now is the use of drones for smuggling contraband. Criminal groups have exploited drones to deliver drugs, weapons, mobile phones, and surveillance devices over airports, perimeters, and even into restricted zones. These deliveries are often small, fast, and difficult to detect, making them an attractive tool for bypassing the traditional security measures. Now, beyond smuggling as well, drones can also be used for hostile reconnaissance or espionage. Because it's easy right now to be equipped with high-resolution cameras or thermal sensors, and they can quietly survey airport infrastructure, monitor security patrols, or map out vulnerabilities in fencing, lighting, or access points. Now, this kind of intelligence gathering can be a precursor to more serious threats, Ryan. Now, perhaps another alarming is the potential for drones to carry explosive payloads. While the payload capacity of small drones is very limited, even a modest explosive can cause significant damage. In some cases, drone also may not be used for direct attacks, but rather as distraction tools, or as we call in military, Ryan, it's called decoy, drawing security forces away from a primary threat or creating confusion during a coordinated incident.
Okay, that's really interesting. And this, so I guess this forces airport authorities to really focus on strategizing, specific strategies that they may not have thought about in years past. And as a result, airports now must prepare for both negligence and intent.
Exactly. And in regions with elevated threat profiles, such as those near conflict zones or with a history of organized crime, the risks are even more pronounced. Airports must adopt a proactive, intelligence-driven approach that includes not only detection and mitigation technologies, but also collaboration with law enforcement and intelligence agencies to anticipate and counter these evolving tactics.
Yeah, this is very, very useful insight. Now let's zoom out from the immediate vicinity of airports and property per se. What are the main risks that drones pose now to aircraft and airspace?
One of the most serious risks drones pose to aviation is their proximity to civilian air routes, and particularly in or near conflict zones. Now, in these regions, both military and non-state actors operate drones for surveillance, targeting, or even reconnaissance. And these drones often fly outside of coordinated air traffic control systems. This creates a dangerous overlap with civilian air corridors used for managing international flights. The primary concern is usually misidentification. And in high-tension environments, an air defense system is on high alert most of the time and may mistake a commercial airliner for a hostile drone or vice versa. This is not just theoretical, by the way. History has shown tragic examples where misidentification led to the downing of civilian aircraft. And the presence of drones in these areas increases the cognitive and operational load on air defense operators who must make split-second decisions with limited information. Additionally, where military drones have flown dangerously close to commercial aircraft, sometimes without their transponders or proper identification. The lack of standardized drone flight corridors in conflict zones further complicates the situation, making the confliction between military and civilian traffic extremely challenging. And as drone technology becomes more accessible, Ryan, and widely used in asymmetric warfare, the risk of unintended escalation or civilian casualties grows. This underscores the urgent need for international protocols, real-time airspace coordination, and clear rules of engagement when drones operate near or within civilian airspace.
So the presence of drones and their overall activity in airspace means or seems to further complicate flight routes and air traffic controlling. And there's also the technological interference. Is that right?
Absolutely, Ryan. You're totally right. And beyond physical proximity, drones also pose a significant threat through technological interference. One of the key concerns is how drones can clutter radar systems, especially when multiple small drones are airborne simultaneously. Their small size and erratic flight patterns, also their low-level flying altitude, can create false positive or confuse radar operators, making it harder to distinguish between legitimate aircraft and potential threats. Drones can also interfere with air traffic control communications. Some operate on frequencies that overlap or interfere with aviation communication bands, potentially causing signal degradation or loss of clarity between pilots and controllers when they are communicating. And more dangerously, certain drones can be equipped with GNSS jammers or spoofers. These devices can disrupt or manipulate the GPS signals, which are essential for modern aircraft navigation. And you know, interference, Ryan, can lead to navigational errors, missed approaches, or even runway incursions.
Yeah, we have seen and reported on an increase in GNSS or GPS spoofing or jamming, and it seems to be more frequent nowadays. But so with this rapid rise of drone usage for, you know, both recreational and hostile, how are airports and governments responding to these evolving threats?
There's been a significant global push to enhance counter UAS capabilities at airports. Many facilities now, Ryan, deploy integrated detection systems that combine radar, radio frequency sensors, and electro-optical infrared cameras. These systems not only detect drones, but also is able to classify and identify them, distinguishing between, as an example, a bird from a drone. And once a threat is confirmed, mitigation tools come into play right now. And these range from signal jammers, net guns to interceptor drones, and even directed energy weapons like lasers or microwave systems at more advanced sites.
Ah, okay. And that's pretty interesting. But that would seem to be effective in low-risk locations or areas where you wouldn't anticipate large drone swarms, so to speak. But what about airports in high-risk or even conflict-prone areas?
Exactly. That's where things escalate, Ryan. In regions with elevated threat levels, especially dual-use airports, or those near conflict zones, we sometimes see the deployment of military-grade air defense systems. However, the key challenge here is deconfliction, as we previously mentioned, ensuring these powerful systems do not interfere with civil aviation. Civil and military operations often share airspace, so coordination is a little bit critical to avoid unintended consequences.
Right, right, Pierre. So then what's the broader strategy to manage these threats?
Well, Ryan, I would say a layered mitigation approach is the starting with step one. We can say detection and monitoring, where airports should use advanced sensors like radar, cameras, electro-optical and infrared cameras, and acoustic systems to detect drones. And these are integrated with air traffic management system for real-time alerts and coordinated response. The second step is the interception and neutralization. Once a drone is identified, countermeasures such as signal jamming, interceptor drones, net guns, or directed energy are used to disable or capture the threat. Now, step three, infrastructure hardening, where you know, critical airport assets like fuel tanks and control towers should be reinforced. And buffer zones should be created to prevent drones from accessing sensitive areas. Now, step number four, policy and procedure. Airports should enforce drone no-fly zones, conduct regular training and emergency drills, and coordinate with intelligence agencies for threat forecasting and response planning. And for me, step number five is very important, which is the international coordination, where governments and airports should align with ICAO and IATA standards and promote cross-border intelligence sharing to manage drone threats globally. Now, beside this, we should talk also about the additional mitigation measures for airlines, whether on ground or during ground operation or while airborne. Now, the pre-flight drone risk assessment is very important when on ground. Now, airlines should coordinate with airport security to assess drone activity before aircraft pushback or taxi. Also, they should increase the crew awareness training. Like flight and ground crews should be trained to recognize drone threats and report sightings immediately. Also, aircraft should be parked in areas with surveillance coverage and physical barriers to deter drone access. Also, airlines should participate in joint drills with airport authorities to practice coordinated responses to drone incursions. When it comes to flying Ryan, pilots should be briefed on recent drone activity near departure and arrival airports, especially in high-risk regions, also in any conflict zone that they are overflying, in any FIR, any FIR. And they should also use the onboard sensors. And one of the famous one is the TCAS, or what's called the Traffic Collision Avoidance System. Also, pilots should maintain a close communication with air traffic controllers to receive real-time updates on drone sightings or airspace restrictions. And I would say, finally, airlines should have clear procedures for rerouting or delaying landings if drone activity is reported near the destination airport. Now, UAS threats, whether from hobbyists or hostile actors, are here to stay, Ryan. But with a proactive multi-layered defense strategy, airports can significantly reduce risk and maintain safe skies. And allow me here just to bring all of this into a real-world context. Look, Ryan, at what happened just a few days ago. Ukraine launched one of its most extensive drone attacks yet, hitting military air bases, destroying more than, 40 strategic bombers and critical infrastructure deep inside Russian territory. And what's especially striking here is how easily these drones were launched, and in some cases, reportedly from within Russia, and how far they traveled with ranges reaching up to 3,000 kilometers. Even more concerning, there were no airspace closures or alerts as usual with the red carpet plan, meaning the drones went undetected until impact. It's a powerful example of everything we've talked about and discovered in this podcast, Ryan. The threat to airports, the vulnerabilities in airspace surveillance, and the urgent need for better detection and mitigation. For me, this wasn't just another drone incident, to be honest. It was a really wake-up call that perfectly illustrates how this technology is reshaping modern conflict like rain.
Yeah. I mean, and the example you used with the recent drone attack by Ukraine deep into Russia really drives it home. I know that the targets were military targets, as you mentioned, strategic bombers, and by some estimates, up to 40% of the strategic bomber force of Russia was affected, either destroyed or damaged. And we may get lost in the fact that these are military assets, but this has some really big implications on the civilian side too. I mean, as you mentioned, the lack of airspace closures or alerts from Russian airport and airspace authorities. You know, this is something that they typically do, in the past, and they fail to do it. So this has wide-reaching implications. And clearly, UAS threats are evolving quickly, and that's a perfect example. From casual misuse on the civilian side to intentional weaponization. And as you mentioned a minute ago, too, we just can't wish this technology away. This is a technology that is here to stay.
That's right, Ryan. The threat landscape surrounding drones or UAS is evolving rapidly. Now, what began as a concern over hobbyist misuse has now expanded into a much broader and more complex challenge, including intentional hostile use by criminal groups, insurgents, and even state actors. The accessibility, affordability, and adaptability of drones make them very attractive tools for both benign and malicious purposes. And that dual use nature is what makes them so difficult to regulate and defend against.
Yeah, thank you for all that valuable information, Pierre. Now, I know you discussed some recommendations a little bit ago, but what are some other recommendations that be given that can be given to civil aviation operators concerned about the proliferation and dangers stemming from UAS or drones?
I would say, Ryan, to stay ahead of these threats, it's essential that we adopt a multi-pronged approach. This includes robust regulation that clearly defines where and how drones can operate, advanced technological solutions for detection and mitigation, and most importantly, strong coordination between civil aviation authorities and national defense agencies. Now, airports can no longer operate in isolation. They must be part of a broader security ecosystem that includes intelligence sharing, joint response protocols, and even continuous threat assessment. I also want to emphasize the role of awareness and vigilance. Everyone, Ryan, working in or around aviation, from ground crews and air traffic controllers to airline staff and security personnel, should be very well trained to recognize and report suspicious drone activity. And we all know how the time is an important variable in aviation. Even a single sighting near an airport perimeter or approach path can be a critical early warning. Timely reporting can definitely prevent disruptions, protect passengers, and even save lives.
Yeah, you're spot on, Pierre. Great recommendations. And again, thank you for your time today. And that's all we have for this episode. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Once again, thank you for joining us. And as always, from MedAir, stay informed and stay safe.